Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, contributing by satellite from somewhere very, very far on the other side of the world.
Because I'm shouting so loud, I can hear myself in your microphone as well.
I'm actually in the same room as Morgan for the first time, possibly ever.
Have we ever done in the same room normal discourse?
No, we haven't. Never.
I did it with Ben a few times. And we almost came to blows almost every time. And so we decided Skype was probably safest.
Skype is quite safe.
Yeah, but Skype also sucks. I like being able to look you in the eye.
We happened to have an evening where I was available, and I thought, well, I'll come to the other side of town, to Studio 1A.
Yeah.
And eat some pizza and then make an awesome podcast. So I've eaten pizza.
So the chat room says, dude, why is it still crackling? And also, it always crackles on the live stream, and it's a clever ploy to distract us from the poor content. Now, would you like to answer why it's still crackling? Because you've seen the setup now.
So we've had this issue with the stream in the past, and I've criticised Morgan on the grounds that he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing and can't plug things in properly. It turns out that he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing and can't plug things in properly, but some of his stuff is also just weird and possibly haunted. There's cables that behave strangely and inexplicably. That's actually mainly, it's just cables that behave inexplicably.
Yeah, Ben did get this mixer from a pawn shop, so who knows what it was involved with in a former life.
Pawn?
P-A-W-N. He either got it from Trade Me or he got it from...
Did you see the Will Wheaton thing, just on a word association?
That's Wesley Crusher.
Yeah, so Will Wheaton has a YouTube video series called Tabletop Games, I think, or Tabletop,
right,
where he talks to celebrities while playing, well, celebrities as a, you know, nerd celebrities,
yeah,
while playing tabletop kind of games, you know, like role-playing kind of games. Anyway, turns out, thanks to the wonders of Reddit, we've discovered that he shoots his show in exactly the same studio that at least one porn film has been shot in.
Oh,
I'll find the image for you soon and send it to you. But it's quite amazing. So anyway, there's a whole lot of Twitter stuff going on today. Tabletop at something. Tabletopless games was the hashtag.
Everywhere has history.
It does, but seldom. But few places have such explicitly entertaining photos.
If I'd known you were taking that photo from that angle, I definitely would have sucked in my gut.
Yeah, well, I would have put more than just the side of my head and my slightly hanging downy chin bit.
Your waddle.
Is that what that is?
I don't know what it's meant to be called.
Well,
I bet it's got a name from the turkey farming industry.
Why? Why would why?
Why would it be called a waddle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I seem to recall something about, that was the backs of knees from that lawyer show with the Ally McBeal.
Don't know.
No? That's the distant past.
It is. The dancing baby. Everyone loved the dancing baby.
It's very strange having you here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, here you go. Look.
I didn't say that. Oh.
Same couch, same background, same couch.
Oh, my God. That is not what I expected, and much worse.
Is that not amazing? I can't.
That picture is not going in the show notes. Are those the same lamps? No, they're not the same lamps. They just look very similar.
I could tastefully blur it.
I don't think blurring would... We'd need big black boxes.
So to speak.
But I mean, not that big.
So anyway, that was an amusing thing on the internet.
If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it. So we had sriracha pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, those are the same lamps.
No, the base doesn't look the same.
No,
the same lamp shades.
They're the same lamps, but they have little things in front of them.
Okay, all right. I probably shouldn't try to judge these things by watching something on
my God, that's
on your screen. So there are a hell of a lot of What's Your Auntie been talking about that I have been continuing to pump into the docs, but then not actually doing any of them ever because so many shows have started and actually some have finished since last time we did it, I guess. So I guess we could talk about some of them. For instance, we could say Under the Dome is not very good.
Is it not? I haven't been watching it. Melanie is a big Stephen King fan, so she was going to watch it.
So she's used to disappointment?
Is that what comes of being a big Stephen King fan?
Yes.
Okay, then possibly so.
If you're a Stephen King fan, just read.
Well, she's
don't
she's
watch
done
movies
that.
Or TV shows from Stephen King, because that will make you sad. It's not. It's not that it's bad.
Green Mile? That was for Stephen.
Oh, Green Mile is pretty great.
So that's the exception.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. It's not that the Glades is really bad. It's just kind of feels cheesy. Did I say the Glades? I mean, Under the Dome. I'm going to talk about the Glades in a second because that is really bad. It used to be charming, the Glades. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, the Glades. If you're looking forward to the Glades coming back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just stop watching it. Well, I mean, I could, but if I had my show notes open already.
That's fine.
The Glades, IMDb. This is real time. This is what I should do in advance of the show starting. So
yeah, but instead you're eating pizza and topping up your 1 liter stein full of sugar-free LMP and beer.
That's true. So you now can bear witness to the fact that the stein is too big.
It is too big.
Yeah.
It is astonishing. I'm surprised. I'm surprised you get through the whole show without a toilet break, to be honest.
I usually don't.
Ah.
Yeah.
That explains the giant bag of adult diapers.
Yeah. The Glades, 2010, 7 out of 10. But I think that a lot of those higher ratings on IMDb are from earlier seasons because this season, the lead actor, Matt Passmore, who plays a police officer in Florida, he is just so smart.
So just in like, you can have 12 words.
Yeah.
What is The Glades?
Television procedural, police procedural. Don't even need 12 words. It's just another one of those.
Television procedural. Police procedural. Don't even need 12 words. That's 10. I was counting on my fingers for reference.
and with your mouth. So the chat room says that, no, Under the Dome is awesome, although admittedly I'm not going to read it till I've watched it. I'm not going to read it at all. And it's not awesome. The Glades, though, the smugness in Matt Passmore is intolerable. It's too much. It's too much. And he's being smug not just to us, the viewers, but to people who are like victims of horrible crimes, like their wives have just been murdered and their bodies dumped in a swamp.
So he's right? saying, and he's saying like witty things and then putting his sunglasses on?
Well, without the sunglasses and without really being very witty. Now, in earlier seasons, I think, is it season 3 maybe now? It was charming, but the charm is just gone. And he's saying the same stuff, but charmlessly. And it's just, So don't get your auntie to send you that one on VHS. How many am I going to get? Newsroom is back.
I really enjoyed the first episode.
And second?
Haven't seen it yet.
VHS takes a long time to get here on Korea.
I'll be getting Betamax.
Betamax?
Yeah, so that's it takes a little bit longer because my auntie records in VHS, but I have her dub it to Betamax for me.
Why would you do that?
Because Betamax, frankly, is better quality.
But not after it's been recorded in VHS. You don't get quality back, do you?
Oh, good point.
But the tapes sure are a lot more expensive.
I never bought a VHS player because Betamax is so superior.
Yeah, fair enough. Newsroom. Yeah, it's pretty much the same as season one. Wait, is it season 2 or is it season 3 already?
There's a storyline happening, which was just beginning to unfold in the first episode, and I assume is continuing in the second episode, about... it basically revolves around ACN making a huge and libelous claim against the US military based on...
Genoa.
Yeah. Which is directly based on a thing that actually happened with CNN.
Is it?
In the, I'm going to say late 90s, 98, something like that. Right. I can't remember what the details are. I read about it a while ago. But exactly the same thing, where essentially they had one source who said this thing off camera and then refused to corroborate it on camera, and it became a big thing. So it's interesting.
They're, spoilers!
Well, I don't know if that's what's going to happen in the... Look, I read about this elsewhere, outside of the newsroom context.
So the newsroom, 8.5 out of 10 still on IMDb. It's a bit preachy. And journalists are the people that dislike it. I bet that
there's an article on CNN today, an article on CNN, interestingly enough.
Saying that journalists love it.
Sort of saying how important the newsroom is in some sort of journalistic context.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the article actually said because I've only read the headline.
Why would you read more than that? This is discourse.
Well,
we're redefining that word rapidly.
It's entirely possible I didn't even read the headline, actually. I may have just...
Skimmed the headline. Probably wasn't even about the newsroom.
I just looked at the URL.
It may have been about a newsroom.
It possibly was.
Mm. Next, we could talk about Longmire. I've mentioned Longmire on the show before. I just wanted to tell you about it again because Longmire is still very good.
Good. Good to know. Glad that it hasn't got not good.
Hasn't got not good. Top Gear's on at the moment.
Jeremy Clarkson just sold his portion of the production company to BBC for $30 million.
Does that mean he's going to stop being involved?
No, he just means he is no longer owns the production company that makes it. BBC Worldwide owns the production company.
But does that mean he no longer has creative control? And
I imagine he's probably still put himself in a position of creative control. It just basically means that BBC gets all the profit instead of profit sharing with the production company that it was not wholly owned by them.
So that means he's going to retire soon.
Probably, I don't know.
Because otherwise he wouldn't sell out, surely. Because, I mean, you would do what he's done. You would sell up if you knew you were only going to be in it for another one or two seasons. If you're going to be in it long term, surely he's going to make more from owning it.
I think
than from being
more,
an employee.
I think it was more of a thing for BBC. I have no idea. I don't know the justification behind it. I know there was a bit of an uproar in the UK because people were like, I can't believe you're spending our license pay money on buying out Jeremy Clarkson. But it turns out they weren't. All the money they spent on the thing came entirely from BBC Worldwide licensing fees.
Right.
Not from, you know, the...
Well, everyone must buy it. I mean, every English-speaking country in the world, and presumably lots of the ones that have to overdub it, buy it because they're famous everywhere they go. Everyone recognizes them, except like in the middle of Africa where people just kind of look at them sideways.
Yeah, people look at everyone that way in Africa, I think.
But like all through Europe, and I mean, obviously America's a big place, so you can't trust anyone to know anything about anything. But, you know, in Australia and New Zealand, on the other side of the world, they're pretty famous.
Yep.
Because we license it. We buy his cars for him, I guess.
Many, many of them.
Many of them. What other shows? We could talk about True Blood. Most people probably wouldn't like to. I think most people are over True Blood. But I'm still watching it.
I never got into it, but Melanie really enjoyed it. She also likes The Vampire Diaries, though, so I'm not sure that's a...
Does she like Teen Wolf?
The TV series?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she's seen it.
Teen Wolf, Andrew. Oh, who posted that?
No, you posted that. But look,
I
censored it tastefully.
That is not censored enough.
What else do you want?
Chat room, I'm very sorry that Dylan's done that to you.
That's. Are you complaining you can still see Will Wheaton's face?
Yeah, that's the problem, obviously. I don't want to upset them. They're fragile people in the chat room.
That picture could go, we're going to have to put this picture in the show notes now that we're talking about it.
I can't.
That picture could go on the news.
It's gone over some line that I don't want to cross.
How much bigger do I have to make the black boxes?
100%.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
230%.
Well, that's very difficult to estimate.
But retain the same number of pixels.
So I scale the...
I mean...
So I just changed the DPI of the image, right?
No, I was kind of thinking more that it would lose some of its opacity.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That would make it much worse. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Hannibal. Hannibal is incredible. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but Hannibal. Also, Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. It's Anthony Bourdain's series on CNN. I'm just going to throw a whole bunch of episode names at you because I'm probably not going to talk about TV again until next week. I expect. We could talk about The Hero. Did you know that The Rock had a reality show?
No.
What was it called? The Line? There was a show in New Zealand called The Line in which you had to...
Oh, it's Going Straight.
Going Straight. It's not really like that, but sort of. It's the closest to that I've seen in an American reality show.
Okay.
Where people have to do scary things as a team. But the plot twist, they all live together in an apartment and they all have to kind of make decisions together about, like, only ever a subset of them can go on the challenges.
Yeah.
And the people who don't go on the challenge aren't even present there. And while the challenge is ongoing, The Rock turns up every now and then, either in a phone call or in person, and offers people money to betray the rest of their team. And surprisingly, some of them do betray their team.
So there's another ridiculous reality show called Whodunit, which Melanie's been watching. It's terrible and ridiculous, but also weirdly compelling, as is so much terrible, ridiculous TV, I guess.
Yeah. And Teen Wolf. I mean, I mentioned it, but I didn't really talk about it. I'm sure we've spoken about Teen Wolf before in a previous season. I'm still enjoying it.
I only know the Michael J. Fox version.
So
15 minutes.
Chat room, why do you say Orange is the New Black? I know what Orphan Black is, but is Orange is the New Black a reference to Orphan Black? I probably can't wait for you to respond to that because I bet there's a really long buffer before the stream gets to you. Do you want to do some news? Or do you want me to just keep talking about... I can talk about Maron, Mark Maron's TV show.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the first episode. I actually saw the second episode for some stupid reason because that was the one they put up on the IFC website.
Don't start at number two.
No, I wish I hadn't. And I'm not sure why they put that up as a teaser.
It probably doesn't really matter where you start, honestly. The thing is, Mark Maron is quite damaged and he's very angry irrationally, and he likes to ruin his life by being angry and fighting. And that's pretty much what they have on the show. Okay, so Orange is the New Black, I'm told by the chat room. Don't know anything about it, so we'll talk about it. Orange is the New Black is an American Netflix original comedy drama series created by Genji Kohan and produced by Lionsgate Television. It is based on Piper Kerman's memoir, Orange is the New Black, My Year in a Women's Prison. Sounds like it's probably too much Lisbonianism, isn't it, in it for me?
Lisbonianism?
Lisbonianism.
That sounds like an offensive thing to say.
Probably is.
That'll get complaints, if anyone cared.
No one cares.
Good.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN. It's surprisingly inexpensive.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
That was a little bit loud. Do you want to do some news?
Yep.
And now the news.
Amazon will track Prime packages to within 15 minutes of delivery. And the thing I like most about this is probably the misleading graphic that goes at the top of the story on The Verge, which implies that there's going to be an app that tells you kind of where you are in the queue of deliveries. Like
misleading graphic.
Never.
On The Verge.
Never.
I am shocked.
It couldn't even happen. It's a law of nature. I don't know why we're pretending that that's something that's ever happened.
I'm pretty sure it has. I'm pretty sure I've seen... I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I never read The Verge.
It makes it look like there is an app which tells you that you are delivery number 28 and the courier driver is currently on delivery 14, and so that gives you some idea of what you're waiting for. So everyone has played this game where you're sitting in your office or perhaps at home, I don't know, and you know from the tracking that your package is in a van. It has been picked up.
Some van somewhere.
But where is that van?
Where indeed?
Where is it? And now it's 4 o'clock, and you know that, you know, probably some courier drivers will just stop delivering pretty soon. And yep. Then it gets to 5 o'clock, and you're like, okay, well, I'm definitely not getting it today. But then what if it arrives? What if it arrives?
What
you can't go home yet. You can't go home until it arrives.
So what? So what do you do in that circumstance?
Well, in this case, if you're if you're in the UK and you have Amazon Prime, then you get told with a great degree of granularity when it's actually going to be delivered, and it uses some kind of there's a courier company in the UK called Interlink Express DPD, which apparently has this kind of more sophisticated tracking stuff.
Yeah.
And they're just going to expose that to their Prime customers, which sounds cool to me.
That's going to be a pain in the ass for courier drivers wanting to slack off, though.
I guess. I mean, the more pain that's caused to those people, the better, because courier drivers, of all people, you know, courier drivers and surgeons and anaesthetists airline pilots, those people, you don't really want slacking off.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out what exactly it was that was going to be the commonality between those people.
Doormen at a bar that you quite like and don't want to have filled up with children. That's someone else you don't really want to have slack off.
Okay.
Unless you're underage and you desperately want to get into the bar.
Next story.
Why David Cameron's war on internet porn doesn't make sense. Well, let me tell you one reason why.
Internet,
probably. You know, sometimes my mouth doesn't fit any of the things.
Mm. You don't think it's related in any way to the
stroke that I apparently had
earlier?
Heavy drink. I mean, this is, I'm halfway through a shandy made with one beer.
Yeah, but it's a huge glass.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the amount of alcohol there is in it.
No more shandiesies.
No shandiesies for you. David Cameron's war on internet porn doesn't make sense because we're fucking adults and we get to decide what we see. Pornography is, I mean, it's not illegal.
Well, it's also just a ridiculously ineffective way to police anything. You can't. The you know, obviously it's not going to catch everything, and it is going to necessarily catch some other things. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
So the just is that any new internet connections signed up in the UK will have to specify, the default will be a porn filter applied.
Yeah.
And you have to specify, you have to specifically ask if you want to be able to access porn.
Yeah.
And then I think over some period of time, all the ISPs will have to contact their customers and ask them whether to opt in or out of porn, the existing customers.
Yeah.
Who really wants to be the guy on the phone who, to some customer service rep saying, oh, yeah, I'd like porn?
Yeah. I would.
Yeah, I guess all good conversation to have.
Moby Hun.
I think we've plugged that particular thing before.
Red Tube.
Next story.
This is the same story. I need another tab. Severe earthquake strikes Australia.
Yay. When did that happen? Because we had one in Wellington too.
A severe earthquake with magnitude of 6.2 has erupted in an area 20 kilometres east of Seddon. Seddon is a suburb 7 kilometres west of Melbourne, Australia, with a population of 4,851 people.
This is the problem with the internet. You don't even know anything.
The shock effects of the quake have been felt as far away as Napier in Western Australia, 3,302 kilometres from Melbourne.
I love that someone just Googled these places. Oh, okay, it says there's an earthquake near Seddon. All right, Seddon. Ah, I see, that must be this place here in Melbourne. And, oh, it could be felt in Napier, as far away as Napier. Where's Napier? Oh, Napier's in Western Australia.
Oh, my God, that is such an excellent thing that just got posted. Oh, it was you! What are you doing over there, you crazy man?
I wasn't listening to
you. I need to keep a closer eye on what you're up to. It is awesome. The first comment on this article, which is on GuardianLV.com, Guardian Express.
It's a Las Vegas newspaper.
First comment is, you are an... This is from Ella. And I bet Ella is adorable, because people with the name Ella, I think, are pretty adorable. You are an idiot. What kind of research did you do for this? And just for the record, I live in Darwin, Australia, and there's been two earthquakes that were felt here this year. I'm not sure what that last part was. The second comment is, good luck with the job hunt.
Now, the guy who wrote this is a lawyer by trade,
right,
apparently, and the science reporter for Guardian LV.
Attention to detail, eh? Mm-hmm. How Microsoft lost its way. How about this one?
Next story.
This one will be great.
We haven't... We're almost half an hour into the show and we haven't talked about the royal baby.
How Microsoft lost its way as understood through the wire. Last week, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer issued a vast formal memo. Incomprehensible.
Developers, developers, developers.
It's impossible to read.
What?
He's a lunatic.
Ballmer?
Yeah.
So this is a memo
This is the memo that he sent to Microsofties. And it's been released. And it's just full of this ridiculous corporate doublespeak. It's newspeak. It's madness. Oh, please, I'm not going to give you examples. Because I haven't got any in this. This article isn't about that. It's just an aside. Well, it is about that, but it doesn't include that. Steve Ballmer issued a vast formal memo setting out a far-reaching realignment of the company, one that would bring together its silo divisions to create serious fun so intense and delightful that it will blur the line between reality and fantasy. That last bit apparently... as a quote. Some say that he's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. But to understand what's happened at Microsoft during the past decade, as their bread and butter PC sales have declined, as their products have stagnated, as Apple and Google and Amazon have lapped them on every course, as their stock has remained flat until a few days ago when it fucking plummeted, while Apple's stocks have soared by 4,000%.
Haven't they started going down as well, though?
Yeah.
Because everyone's realised they're overvalued?
Well, are they?
Aren't they?
I don't know. Zero's overvalued. I don't know if Apple's overvalued.
Isn't everything? The whole stock market's probably overvalued.
That's probably true. But Microsoft, the thing is that Microsoft were flat and Apple at least grew during that period. So if there's a correction for Apple, that will still be, you know, of a significant value. But Microsoft having been flat through that period means if they are, you know, devalued, then that's actually a pretty big loss. You know, he's been responsible for, you know, nothing particularly inspiring, old Ballmer.
So when does Bill Gates come back?
They had a $900 million write-down on unsold Surface RT devices.
So where do you get them, these ones that they've basically written off?
I don't know. Hmm. They've probably dropped them into a chipper.
Well, maybe they'll sell...
Windows 8 is not desired by the general public. People, I think it's clear, people don't actually want Windows 8.
So... do you remember the hype when Windows 95 came out? Do you remember the big hype about this? There was a big product launch and it was all exciting.
Yep. There were queues at Wickles or somewhere
and
weird.
Windows XP, I think, was about the same. It was another big anticipated release. I don't think, maybe Windows 7 had some sort of anticipation when it was released, but I think the general public stopped giving a shit at all about any operating systems.
Yeah.
And Windows 8 didn't generate hype because it was confusing.
It's the wrong solution to the problem. I really think that Microsoft sort of just copied Apple, just copied them a little bit. You have a separate operating system line for your mobile devices.
Well, of course you fucking do, because it's not a computer is not a tablet slash phone.
Exactly.
No one else is trying to. Well, though, there's been arguments that Apple's going that way.
Yeah. But, I just want you to be close to the.
But
microphone.
No one else has tried to leverage a single operating system onto two very, very different computer platforms that you interact with in very, very different ways. Yep. Like, and nor should they. There's going to be a commonality and you can leverage concepts across both platforms, but they're different.
Yeah.
And if you try and force them together, it just confuses. It doesn't work well on one of the platforms, does it? If you're touching things... That's different to using a mouse. You have different ways of interacting. Windows 8 makes no sense to me.
No.
As a product.
No, that's right. And I think that's probably true for many people. Now, of course, there are people out there who just don't care. They go and get a new laptop at a convenience store.
You buy them at convenience stores.
What do we call those?
Consumer electronics stores? I don't know.
Electronics store. Let's call it that, even though electronics is probably a word that is... out of favor
at
as well.
A fridge and laptop shop.
Appliance stores? I don't even know what you'd call it now. And they go in there and they find the one that they like the look of that costs the right amount. And they maybe don't even know if one's an Apple or if one is a Microsoft. And they just get whatever. And then they get home and they discover that this isn't anything like the Windows 98 SE desktop.
So it's interesting
that broke.
Because you look at the way Apple's gone with operating systems. They have... an impenetrable numbering system. If you don't pay attention, there's no fucking way to know which version of the operating system comes before or after which other version of the operating system.
Yeah.
Like Snow Leopard and Tiger and what's that? Mavericks. Where the fuck does that fit in?
I think Mavericks is iOS 7. Is
what,
that right?
10 point.
Or is it 10.9?
No, Mavericks is OS 10.9.
Is it OS 10?
10.9.
Well, I mean, 0.9 is the important part.
But that... Well, yeah, because it's OS 10, and it's really version 9 of OS 10.
Oh, it's OS 10, 10.9.
But, you know, Apple's just given up. Apple doesn't try and market numbers and things anymore. And then Microsoft, and they just sell devices, and, you know, it's an Apple device.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Whereas...
it's a different shape. Or Windows, this one, the antenna actually works.
I think Windows 7 was doing quite well with that. Like, it was just being the Windows.
That worked really well that no one complained about.
Yeah,
I don't remember people being like, this really desperately needs to be touch. It needs to be touch first when I'm making my spreadsheets.
Yes.
This has to be touch because that's going to be so much better. Everything should be touch. Touch, touch, touch. It's so much fun on my phone when I'm playing Angry Birds. It'll be great during my work day.
Oh my God, I need a touch computer so I can play Candy Crush on my laptop.
I need to make this report. I should touch my screen all over the place, especially in places that don't have any obvious interface element on them.
Sorry to be clear.
I'm just going to imagine that I need to hover my fucking finger over this bit of empty screen and then something will happen and a thing will pop out and everything will be wonderful and all my work will practically do itself.
And I should definitely not put any words on anything because I should just be able to understand everything from a single pictogram.
That's right.
Windows.
That's what we have Unicode for.
Windows Phone annoys the shit out of me.
Or emoji or whatever the fuck
I really like the design of Windows Phone.
Yeah, I think it's lovely as well. I think it looks perfectly fine. It's cool.
It looks great until you install an app.
Oh, yeah.
The moment you install an app, that nice monochromatic design just goes to shit because you've got now all sorts of weird app icons all over your home screen.
It's not really monochromatic. You mean like it's got a restricted palette?
The icons are monochromatic on a single color background. That's the most of the standard ones are anyway, except for like the Windows Live is different and then... I suppose even Microsoft fucks it up from the get-go.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
Could you please just get on mic just a little bit more? Like if you could put your nose right on that bit there.
But then I can't see you because there's a microphone in front of my face. I also can't see the laptop. So I'm just move back a little bit like this.
Well, I mean, you'll see that you have put your one up, upside down, and my one is clearly the other way.
The reason mine is up, upside down, is because otherwise I can't move my hand across here. See,
but you could just put the cable. I mean, there's clips for the cable. There's a clip for the cable right there on the...
Now who's off mic? Right?
I was, but there was a reason for it.
Sorry, here you go. Look, I'll just...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'll fix this cable situation and I'll just...
This mic adjusting thing was not as noisy as I hoped it would be.
No, it wasn't. So you were making all these wild gesticulations.
It's really disappointing. I was hoping it would make a big noise while I was fumbling with the mic.
You see that big thing all around the microphone with all the elastic bands?
So anyway, moving on. Hey, look, Ben's in the chat room.
Yes.
And blah, 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 Windows, awesome, Microsoft, we love you. I don't know what he's saying. I can't read. All I see is Windows, Windows, Windows.
So you know who has been really badly affected by kind of the shrapnel? An innocent bystander, seemingly, is Nokia.
Poor Nokia. And they're making the best phones they've ever made.
They're making really cool devices with amazing things in them. Yep. Really cool cameras
fantastic
and so on.
Engineering.
And they feel
devices.
Good. Yep. They feel good in your hand. And Windows Phone actually is good. But they're just like, there's a smell around Windows right now. And it smells, it's got that sweet,
but it's
tangy smell of death.
It's not even that. It's just that people want an iPhone or iOS device and people want an Android.
Yeah.
No one wants a Windows phone. People buy a Windows phone because they like the phone that it's on,
yeah,
which is, you know, where we sit with the Nokia phones. If we were to buy a Nokia phone, it wouldn't be because it had Windows Phone on it.
No.
It would be because we liked the phone and we for some reason wanted a 41 megapixel camera on our phone.
8 pixels should be enough.
8 pixels. Shit, yeah. So it's 2x4 in portrait mode or 4x2 in landscape.
Or just 8x1.
Man, that'd look awesome on Instagram.
It's a panorama. See, these ones are sort of roughly blue-green.
Can someone make an app for this? I want an app for my phone that takes an 8x2 pixel. No, sorry, an 8 pixel, a 4x2 pixel photo.
I want 51% of the company.
He should post it on on some developer's mailing list somewhere. I've got this really good idea for an app, but I just need someone to help me implement it. I'll let you have some of the company because you get it on the ground floor.
You know, anyone who works for a company making mobile apps without owning part of that company is a fucking muggins.
I love it when people are, have you seen all those things on the internet? Like, have you seen those? I've got this great idea for a web app. I just need some programmers to help me implement it. And if you're lucky...
This is going to be bigger than Facebook.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Oh my God, they're the best thing in the world. Yeah, it's weird that there's these idea men and there's these technical men and they get together and for some reason the idea men value their contribution to it so, so much more.
The idea is always the easy part.
Next story.
I need someone to help me with that. I've got a lot of ideas.
So the Apple developer site was taken down this week. Apple...
Hackers,
apparently. There's one chap, Ibrahim Balich, I don't even know how to pronounce his surname, thinks that he may be the hacker identified by Apple and says he had no malicious intent. He was just trying to submit a bunch of bugs.
Yeah, and then he posted a video of his haul of data files and managed to opened a bunch of them in his video and didn't bother to obscure any of the personal data that he revealed, which is...
Wait, but that's not what he described it as having been. Well, so he actually was hacking it.
No. He was pen testing, but it's not pen... Like, pen testing is when you have permission.
Yeah.
When you don't have permission, it's hacking.
Right.
Now, he posted a video of his conquest and showing these files. It basically looks like it was just an SQL injection attack.
Right.
Of some sort.
You've got, how the hell, who's vulnerable to a SQL injection?
Well, apparently the Apple Dev Center.
That is unacceptable.
That's what it appeared to be. I'm not sure if that is absolutely it. But basically he was scraping somehow individual user data.
That's madness.
One at a time.
There's a difference between being able to sequentially like brute force up a URL parameter and then getting results and scraping it. That there's no real way around that, except, you know, maybe detecting that one IP is using too much traffic and throttling them or blocking them. But in terms of that being an issue compared to something like SQL injection, that's not an issue. But if there was any SQL injection, that's fucking retarded. Because that's baby stuff.
I haven't found any definitive write-up on what the vulnerability was, but that seemed to be what was suggested in the post that I saw.
So I would like to talk about this Dubai story. But the mood is high right now, and I don't want to do like a screeching needle drop right turn. So maybe we'll come back to it. Maybe we won't. I'm not sure the tone of this show is right. Just
summarize it really briefly and flippantly.
I won't be flippant. There was a Norwegian woman in Dubai who was raped, and she complained to the authorities, and they convicted and jailed her for having sex outside marriage.
And this is not a new story. This has happened before.
This has happened a bunch of times.
Australian woman most recently that I can remember. Yeah, and this is one of those things that you get with a theocracy. Arguably, you get some fucking insane moralistic rules.
We should... it's too late to do a trigger warning, I guess, but this is why I didn't really want to start talking about it right away, because obviously, you know...
No, it's fine. We can move on now. There's not much more to be said about it. We all understand it's stupid. Apparently, the thing's been overturned now, though, and she's been released or something.
I'm not sure it's been overturned, but she's been released.
Yeah, there you go. So, there's some dumb shit happens in the Middle East because people base their laws on stupid religious beliefs.
Misogyny. Dylan's leaning away from the microphone to sneeze.
Can't lean quite far enough.
It was so sweet. It was like one of those YouTubes you see of puppies whose eyes start to wiggle and then they sneeze and their nose.
I thought it was a bit like the baby panda.
Yeah. Tumblr clarifies. Oh, I should push a button. Actually, no, I'm not doing this story next.
Oh, this is Tumblr's.
No. I'm not doing that story next.
Okay, good.
We'll do another Dubai story. Dubai offers gold as weight loss incentive. A 30-day weight loss challenge launched last Friday in Dubai offers citizens solid gold for shedding weight. Citizens that signed up for the program will be offered 1 gram of gold for every kilogram they lose.
What?
Yeah, it's not actually that much, though. It's about $19 per pound.
Sorry, wait, what?
1 gram of gold for every kilogram of weight you lose.
Sorry, for some reason I heard the first time you said it, I heard 1 kilogram of gold for every kilogram you lost. I was like, fuck.
Sweet, I'm going there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The Emiratis who you have to lose at least 2 kilograms before you become eligible for the bullion. So.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Other things that aren't awesome. These stories, oh God, they're all going to be from The Verge. FBI hair analysis may have falsely convicted thousands, including some on death row. So
this is junk science and forensic junk science again.
That's right. And this is why, see, we've spoken before about how I am not actually against the death penalty. I think some people deserve it. But you've got to really be sure. And... how can you ever be sure of anything, right? I mean, people confess to crimes that they didn't commit.
Yeah.
Let alone people who get framed up by the police.
I was going to say not so often for death penalty cases, but certainly for non-death penalty cases, they often do because this is amazing. The public defender system when you get arrested in the States, we all know this. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. We've all heard that. It turns out the one will be appointed for you is just some low-paid lawyer who has potentially thousands of defendants that they are responsible for, who may never have the time to properly learn your case, unless you get lucky and get pro bono support from another lawyer.
I've just been trolled by the chat room, Dylan. Unless it's David Bain, pretty certain there, I am pretty certain, but I wouldn't say I was 100% certain, even with David Bain.
And even then, you wouldn't send him to the death row.
No, I definitely wouldn't send him to death row because I don't know that his crime actually would qualify for what I think of as, being the crimes that deserve that ultimate sort of penalty. Maybe 5 people is pretty serious. I'd say I was about 80% on David Bain. I'm not 100% on David Bain. Far from it. And the only alternative person that it could be is Robin Bain. But, I mean, so much evidence says that it wasn't Robin and that it was David that, that's where we are. That's where I am.
Next story.
Key confidant of support for GCSB bill. Yep, well, for a reason, and that reason
is because he's been told he has support.
Is done.
So
done and dusted. Peter sort of means trail off, and done sort of finished.
So what I'd like to know though is I'm curious to know if it actually, because it seems that some of the changes that Peter Dutton has managed to coerce are good, but I don't know if they really fix some of the fundamental issues with the GCSB bill.
Yeah.
So he seems.
Look at this smug motherfucker. Oh, look at that face. I think that I am now at a point where I would be happier punching John Key than Justin Bieber.
Wow.
I know that's an extreme thing to say, but I reckon I would do it. I mean, obviously, I would never really do it. I mean, I wouldn't punch either of them. Really.
I'd really punch. But really I punch would Justin Bieber. Oh, mind you,
I would fantasize about it.
Some of those dudes in his entourage are pretty fucking heavy. I'm not sure if I. I think if I punched John Key, the cops would still be reasonably professional about it. I'm not sure about if Justin Bieber's little bodyguard guys would be so reasonable about it.
No, I don't imagine so. Prime Minister John Key says some substantial changes will be made to the GCSB bill. And actually, he's got the support already. Obviously, the story is from before Peter Dunn came out and said, yep, why not? Fuck you guys, my career's over anyway. So what has Dunn ever done, I ask you?
The recent ban on party drugs or whatever the hell.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Well, not ban, but, you know, legal framework in which to evaluate them and make them illegal.
What just happened? Everything started scrolling and it was upsetting for me. Sunstrike warning after tragic crash. A crash in the Lower Kaimais, which claimed the life of a mother of two, has sparked research showing the Western Bay has one of the worst sunstrike crash rates in the country. Sunstrike, have you had that?
Yeah.
Everyone's had that, right?
Yeah.
That is awful. And there's something like, there are places where just the road is angled just right.
There's one when I used to drive home, when I was living on the shore, when I used to drive home up, whatever the name of the road was there.
Yeah.
There was one place there which was terrible. It, just at the right time, you were basically driving straight into the
and
sun.
And you can't see. And,
yeah. No, terrible. You slow right down.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think you have sunstroke. You're like, oh no, this is terrible. You're like, yeah, I've got sunstroke. And then
you really have
And then
that.
You really get it. You're like, yeah, oh shit, I can't see where I'm going. It's like when you're driving on the motorway and suddenly it just pisses down with rain. Also, it's alarming. Morgan's reading.
So this is about the Stop the GCSB bill, which is tonight at 7 p.m. at the Mount Albert War Memorial Hall in Auckland. Tonight being Thursday. I say tonight, but probably most of the people who listen to this show will listen to it, as we've discussed before, in about 25.
Yeah, that's right.
So, approximately, there'll be anthropologists going, man, the idiomatic language was really dense and hard to understand. It sounds like his tongue was 20 feet wide sometimes, this guy.
Yeah, and that dude leaned away from the microphone to sneeze, but we could still hear it.
Goddamn, he must have been sexy while he was doing it. Sunstrike, man, it's terrible. I don't see any solution, but it's terrible. I mean, there's always going to be... What's that?
We can destroy the sun.
Or we can fill the atmosphere with choking black smoke.
Oh, your answer's probably easier.
And we've already started.
What if we just blacked out our windshields on the cars? That way the sun couldn't get in.
Drive
with welding goggles on.
Yeah. I mean, some people essentially already do, right? Where's Jackie from?
I don't know.
Jackie Thomas, she's from Greymouth. Well, that's not. Oh, video will autoplay in 3 seconds. No, I stopped you. I caught you, you dirty bastard. Stuff, you dirty bastard. So we can either talk about X Factor or we can talk about Wellington's terrifying earthquake.
I was going to say, wasn't there an earthquake in Wellington?
Yeah, who cares? I care because I think it's a great excuse to move the fucking capital out of Wellington and put it in Northland. Because Northland is crippled by unemployment. They have terrible poverty, and if you put the capital there, there'll be basically jobs
what
for
if
everyone.
We built a
and Northland is lovely, and we'd get like a nice commuter rail link from Auckland to up there because it would only make sense, right? And then,
oh, and finally, we'd have a reason to build the rest of that motorway.
Unfortunately, that's true. And also, I mean, there's no reason for it to be in Wellington anymore. I mean, you know, once upon a time, and it used to be in Northland.
Yeah. I'm not sure you'd want to put it back exactly where it was. I think those buildings are probably a little inadequate.
A bit small.
A bit small, but wooden.
Just, I mean, we could do some kind of Middle Eastern style,
you know,
terraforming.
Though,
yeah,
the country's built on a number of active geographic, what are they, faults?
Yeah,
I think maybe no matter where we put Parliament, there's always going to be some risk.
Oh, here's hoping.
Or how about this?
Yeah,
we build a giant floating island, right?
Yep.
It's a floating island, so it's obviously not going to have earthquake issues because it's going to be isolated by the sea from earth movements.
Yep.
It's floating, so it won't have issues with a tsunami because it'll just rise on with the water.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just a giant floating island. Make it far enough away from known volcanic areas that it's not going to get hit by an eruption. Floating island.
Oh, I like your thinking. So what we're doing is we're taking everyone who wants to be a politician and putting them on an island and floating them out to fucking sea.
Yeah,
so that's your actual plan, isn't it?
No. But that way, if they can't agree and sort their shit out, we just don't bring them back. We're just like, well, we're not sending another plane or boat out there until you sort this shit out and do it properly.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm against the idea.
I think we should look into it.
And once we perfect this giant floating island technology,
a civilian party could perhaps take that on as a policy.
They'd want to put all the Maoris on it and send it away off out into sea.
The civilian party, not the Pākehā party.
Oh, sorry, my bad. What's the civilian? Of course. Oh, Jesus. They're kind of the opposite of the Pākehā party.
Who knows? Maybe they would as well. We don't really know much about them yet.
has he managed to get his numbers?
I believe he has.
Is he registered? Have they paid?
No, he was going to. I think. I think that was because the civilian's off this week. He's taking a week off to get this shit sorted out.
I've always felt like I should either be Lord Mayor of Auckland or Prime Minister of New Zealand. And I'm not sure what the best way to start is, but I guess joining a political party is
probably...
Well,
we don't have a Lord Mayor.
Ah, he's a super mayor, whatever the fuck he's
called. No, but I mean, not like the crazy Lord Mayor of London.
He doesn't actually get to make real decisions. He's just a super council member, really, isn't he?
Yeah, because the Auckland Council has a CEO as well. Why is the mayor not the CEO of the council? In American politics, they have something called the comptroller, who's like the person who gets to they're the person who gets to make all the money decisions. Which again, like, why is that not the mayor? Like, why I don't understand why you. I suppose it's like the treasurer of the council.
Yeah.
I know about this because Elliot Spitzer, the disgraced former New York governor, I think, is running for comptroller of New York City, which is a pretty minor political party, but a political position. But you know who's running for mayor of New York City?
Is that Wiener?
Yes, it is Wiener.
Wiener's a good dude. He's just got some control issues.
Yeah, and he has
self-control issues.
But he has the name that is just so delightful.
He packs meat.
Yeah, it does.
Yep. He certainly does. He packs a lot of meat. They call him the plumber at the end of the night because, you know, he leaves plenty of pipe. Progress on recovery in Wellington after quake is just, I mean, there doesn't really need to be any. Almost nothing happened.
Yeah, they're fixing some stuff that broke and otherwise they're fine. Of course, it does, again, highlight how while white rail is a wonderful form of public transport, it's pretty susceptible to the old earthquakes. It closes down automatically every time there's an earthquake, basically, for a period of time.
Well, I mean, there's trade-offs for everything, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess.
What's the better alternative to rail?
Flying buses.
Okay, so why haven't they got those in London, Tokyo, New York?
I don't know. They don't have earthquakes there.
Because they don't exist, but rail does exist. And it's really good at moving large numbers of people from one place to another.
Absolutely. It's just not great for earthquakes.
Jackie Thomas, Crown X Factor winner.
Who?
I don't know. She's the one that Ms. Robin Dobbin was rude about repeatedly on Twitter.
I don't know who that is.
Ms. Robin Dobbin.
Oh, wait, what? What? No, still...
Well, she decided. Well, it doesn't matter. There was a discussion on public address, and she suggested that she should marry Dave Dobbin, and because for the obvious reason. And I've decided that she doesn't need to marry him to get the benefit.
Okay, cool.
So, Robin Dobbin.
I would like to point out that the only X Factor contestants I managed to hear about during the whole X Factor period were Tom Batchelor.
Yep.
I don't know anything about him. I wouldn't recognize him in the street.
Yep.
And was it Morehouse was a group or something?
The Christchurch boy band.
That's it. That's all I've all
Yeah,
I've heard
boy
of.
Band where no one in the band can sing.
Yeah?
Man.
What's your point?
It was not a good competition.
It's not like the good old days of NSYNC, you know.
Mm. Well, you know who was the best boy band of all time? The Beatles.
Huh.
I don't know what the defining characteristic is to be a boy band. Is it that you only sing and don't play instruments?
I would say so. I would assume
because surely it's not the kind of the artifice involved.
Because otherwise it's just a band. There's lots of bands that are just made up of boys.
Exactly. The Monkees. It's been suggested. The Monkees. I guess they were the first kind of thrown together by a producer. They weren't like a bunch of mates who put a band together. Someone needed four lads and said, you will do. Is that what it is?
I think the boy band, girl band name tends to be associated simply with groups that don't play their own instruments.
Yeah, that's probably it. Well, that means Morehouse are not a boy band because
they're just a band then.
Well, I think that one or two of them played a guitar once or twice.
Oh, God, it's so confusing. How do we know? How does any of this...
Tell you what, one problem the X Factor had from start to finish was people that just could not harmonize.
Okay.
At all. Let's not talk about this anymore because I find it uncomfortable that I even watched any of it.
And I and am you pretty out of my depth because I didn't watch any of it.
So what's new? We don't need to know what we're talking about on Discourse. It's a show for conjecture.
At least sometimes I like to be able to pretend I know, though.
Man sentenced to 51st prison term. A Black Power member says he wants to change his ways after hearing he will become a grandfather. So it's not because he's been sentenced to 51st time.
How come being a father wasn't enough to make him change his ways?
Because he's a fucking scumbag. Wait, oh my God, he's 34.
Wait, what?
I imagined he would have to be quite a lot older.
No. What? 34, he's going to become a grandparent. So that must mean...
Holy shit.
Like, if we average it, he's 17. He was 17 when he had his son, and his son's now 17 and having a child or a daughter or whatever.
Wowie wow.
And what, 51 prison sentences? They haven't been
51
very long.
Times. I think after 40 times, you go on the floating island.
No, because that's where the politicians go.
And what's the problem with that?
Well, I'm not sure that we should. Well, I'm sure. Why
actually,
not?
Now that gives them an incentive to pass really shit laws so people can't get convicted of anything. Because they'll be the ones that get stuck with them. So they'll decide that, you know, the only people that actually get convicted of sentenceable, I don't even know what's the custodial sentences. They'll just be the people who get convicted of like growing too much weed or I don't even know what. Because presumably that's what they'll want out on the island.
Sure.
They'll need to form their own economy because it's not like we'll pay their way. Those leeches out on the floating island.
I'll send them a loaf of bread every now and again.
Quake's financial hit, only a small one. Still don't really care.
Yeah, this stuff all got all shooken up and that's it, the end.
NASA. Now, this is a weird story. NASA is rushing to get spacesuit repair tools on a launch to the International Space Station this weekend.
What?
Why haven't they got spacesuit repair tools on
How
the
do
space
you repair
station?
A spacesuit?
I don't know. Like you first you use that you put it in water and then you find where the bubble is.
How is gaffer
And then
tape
you use that
the
sandpaper. Then you put some of the vulcanizing rubber on it and then you put the patch on it and then you put it back in the wheel.
How do you think a spacesuit is made? What do you think a spacesuit is?
It's the thing that you use to run a space thing.
Yeah,
is it? I don't even know. It's technological.
Is there a reason for this? Can you explain why? Like, has someone ripped a hole in their spacesuit and now their ears slowly?
An astronaut almost drowned when his helmet flooded with water. I'm not even kidding. During a spacewalk.
What the fuck? What are you talking about?
It's true. I'm talking about the facts of the story.
You know,
last week, an Italian astronaut almost drowned in his flooded helmet while performing a spacewalk.
Oh, you know, space is filled with nothing, right? Not water.
Well, apparently that's not correct. You believe the lie that you've been told for all these years.
Oh my God! Wake up, sheeple! Space is water.
There's something that happens when we're in the same room, Dylan. This is much more fun for me.
Yeah. Oh,
the show might not be better. NASA. Is still uncertain why water leaked. Uncertain why water leaked. Why leaked into the helmet worn by Luca Parmitano last Tuesday.
There's water in the spacesuit somewhere, right?
There was water in two different places. There was water that he was drinking and there was water in a cooling system.
Okay, so it's not just like they were like, fuck, where'd that water come
from? Where'd all this fucking water come from? Oh my God, what the shit? Yeah.
So they don't know exactly where it came from, but they're setting up repair tools to repair the thing that they don't know what it is.
They should have tools on the space station.
They have lots of tools. I saw a photo drawer, just the other day of
that
a whole
drawer. Was beautiful.
It wasn't just one drawer. It was lots of drawers full of tools.
I only looked at one photo and I only scanned it.
Anyway,
whatever. I only briefly scanned it. Earth and Moon photographed from Saturn.
What?
Yes.
How?
Yeah, from a spacecraft called Cassini.
Did we spin a thing to Saturn?
Well, yeah, it was you and me, Dylan. yes, we did.
I'm pretty sure that rocket just crashed into the park again. I think it went up like 60 feet and then just crashed into the park. I don't think it made it to Saturn.
Is it called a rocket if it has the rotating blades and the rubber band and the paper?
Yeah, that's...
That's a rocket. Technically, NASA's Cassini spacecraft has sent back pictures of Earth and the Moon taken from its vantage point in orbit around Saturn.
And they look like little white dots in a black nothingness? Is that...
More than 1.5 billion kilometres away. So this must have been one of those Nokia...
Oh my things. God, how, like... Wait, when was this spacecraft made?
As far as I know, last Tuesday. It's been in orbit around Saturn since 2004.
Okay.
So,
but how long did it take to get there? I mean, it didn't just...
Probably about 25 days. Okay. Three and a half hours.
I think it was launched in 1997. So let's think back to what digital camera technology existed in 1997.
You had those...
We've got a Mavica. It's a Sony Mavica strapped to the outside. And it has
the disc slots into the side.
And it's just ejected the disc and sent it back. The full resolution of the image is 640 by 480. That's a 256 color GIF. GIF.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Plain packaging is deterring smokers, says a study.
Right.
A ban on branded tobacco packaging in Australia has more smokers thinking of quitting, with the product now less appealing. A study is fun. Because the product was so appealing before. Listen, are you a smoker? Why do you still smoke?
Because the packets are so pretty. The packets are pretty. That's why.
It makes me feel real rich to have this thing of gold.
Oh, yeah. Instead of just plain packaging, we just let people not allowed to have gold embossing or gold printing or gold packets on cigarettes anymore.
No embossing
is
allowed.
They can only have like just blue, red, nothing fancy.
White and red Marlboro.
Yeah, just none of those fancy B&H gold. None of that.
Because the Benson and Hedges is so flash.
Yeah.
Study of the impact of Australia's laws says there is an early indication that plain packaging is associated with lower smoking appeal and more urgency to quit among adult smokers. So just fucking stop smoking already.
So David Farah posted a bunch of stuff before the plain packaging thing came in.
How do you know that?
Because I saw it on Kiwi Blog.
Why would you read Kiwi Blog?
You read Kiwi Blog. Shut up.
I know.
It's the reading Kiwi Blog itself isn't the problem. It's reading the comments on Kiwi
Blog. Oh god!
But anyway, he posted a thing basically saying, "I'm not against plain packaging, but I don't understand why no one's actually studied it before we implement it." And that's interesting because there is a point. You know, we think it's a good idea, but no one really knows. But maybe now we'll find out. We just wait for Australia to figure it out. He wanted to basically do his theory was you basically cut the country in half. Conveniently, that's already done.
I'd like to do that.
Launch plain packaging in the South Island, for example, and leave it normal in the North Island and see what the differences are over a period of time. But
I would be pretty happy to cut the country more or less into thirds. So just south of Taupo to the tip of North Island.
Yep.
That is Auckland.
So we still get the hole in one golf thing on the lake.
And also at least one ski field.
Great. So how south? Like south of Ruapehu then?
Yeah, that's not very far south of Taupo.
Fair enough.
I don't mean like on the line of the shore. I mean just south. It's close. They're close to, you know. And then honestly, I don't care what happens south of there. I just don't care. Because, I mean, I have a passport. If I want to visit, I will. I probably won't.
Oh, I've got to get a passport renewal.
Yep, you better do that. US government sold fake IDs for $300 a pop in Las Vegas, and it was a long-term sting. They were gathering the details of people who were doing identity crimes and started busting them over a series of years. Sorry, we definitely don't have time to do this story because...
1 minute.
This is another story from The Verge. Oh, how strange. This is basically like The Verge podcast.
The Verge podcast is probably better than this.
When you hear the unexpected... Shut up.
I bet they have one.
What do you mean probably? When you hear the unexpected knock of a police officer on your door, you may not think about the fake ID you purchased a couple of years ago, but it turns out that the Secret Service built a tiny empire selling high-quality fake IDs on the underground Carter.su forums, slowly amassing a collection of buyers' addresses and headshots. The targets were oblivious to the sting for years, free to go about their lives without charge until the government swooped in and executed a large series of arrests. The operation was highly successful, capturing more than 20 sellers and buyers on the Carter.su forums and successfully shutting down the marketplace. None of the defendant's lawyers have mentioned the Secret Service run marketplace. In the pretrial motions, but one defendant lawyer hints that possible government misconduct and entrapment are shorter length. So it's amazing.
Two.
Years-long process. Hey, thank you for joining us on the show. Thank you for being in the studio. Blah, 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 blah.
You're listening to the weekly show on sorry. Oh, of course.
It's all right. We're using that one.
The Verge podcast probably has more photos in line.
It's probably a video podcast. They're probably sitting on comfy couches that may or may not have been used in porn.
So there's a Twitter feed, the chat room's just posted it, called Kiwi Bog Comments, comments with a K, Kiwi Bog, no L, which are the best of Kiwi Blog's comments. And by best, well, you know what that's going to mean.
The last one was on the 4th of June, though, so I'm not sure.
Maybe the robot stopped working.
There was a whole bunch on the 8th of February, and then none, and then a couple on the 4th of June. That's it.
That's not very good. No. Slacker. You need to make a robot that then just does something with stars. Well, what it should do is, doing if this, then that.
What it should do is it should just get every single one of Red Beta's comments and post them.
Or every single comment that's been upvoted more than 10 times.
Great. I will not do that.
Just scrape it. At the civilian, sir, you have been outed as a prominent left-wing blogger. Please. No, that's not even from there.
It's not. It's not awesome. Give it up.
It's actually not. Chat room, why did you send me wrong? Why did you do this to me?
They were testing you.
Chat room?
They were like, I bet he'll just read out any random shit we post in here.
Derp. Bastards. Why would you do that? Apple celebrates 1 billion podcast subscriptions through iTunes with greatest hits list.
Of podcasts?
I don't know. But if presumably... As long as it's like the top 250,000 podcasts, we'll be in there.
Sweet.
I mean, obviously for New Zealand, we're the best.
The number one.
We're the number one. Is that? I don't think we're number one. I think we're just the best.
Oh no, not literal. Not literal number one. Right. Just the number one. Like, you know, it's just like a number.
Right.
It's not like the top of any ratings show. It's just number one.
Yeah, just number one.
I know, it's not even the first. I mean, it's not like the first podcast in New Zealand or anything.
Oh my God, every single story is from The Verge.
Yeah, I just thought you were scrolling down the page at The Verge there.
Well, see, now here's the thing. I'm not. I'm scrolling down my discourse feature idea tag and Feedly. But I tagged them sequentially as I read. And it's just giving them back to me in the order that I tagged them. And so obviously I went through The Verge and tagged a bunch of things. And look, this is what happens when I am allowed near the internet, pretty much. Where'd that one go? I don't even know.
Doesn't matter. It wasn't interesting.
After 69 years.
69.
Pitch drop experiment finally caught on video.
This is awesome. I love this because I watched the webcam for a while once.
Yeah,
I was like, come on,
do it now,
drop it now. I want to see this. It's like the big flower that was opening in like a park in Washington D.C. somewhere.
And was that like one of those 17-year ones?
Yeah, just where it opens for like 2 days
and then it dies.
It's a corpse flower or something. It opens for like 2 days. I think it's done now.
In 1927, a researcher at the University of Queensland in Australia began what's widely recognised as the longest-running experiment ever, the so-called pitch drop. It's a simple setup. Fill a flask with tar pitch and let it ooze out the bottom to see how quickly it flows, and eventually it makes a proper drop that falls down about once every 10 years or so. That's a drop every 10 years. Tar pitch is a substance that appears to be solid, but in fact is actually a slowly flowing liquid. However, since the beginning of that experiment, human eyes have never actually seen the pitch drop from the bottom of the flask. The last time the Queensland experiment dropped, the webcam that was set up to see it failed at precisely the wrong moment, which is, of course, not true. It failed shortly before, not at precisely the wrong
moment.
You
don't know. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it was like, you know, it detected the motion. It was like, fuck, what do I do?
Fucking Logitech.
Yeah. Well, we'll enable this motion detection feature so we get this, so we get emailed when it happens. And just crashes the whole
fucking blue screen
thing. Yeah, boof.
Oh, I wrote a poem about blue screens. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I wrote it. I didn't memorize it. I need to find it.
When did you write this?
I don't even remember. Have I said this one before?
I don't know.
Roses are red. My screen just went blue. What the fuck did Windows just do?
I like that.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure I came up with that one.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm pretty sure. I reckon it's mine. Alan Turing.
Yes, gay computer scientist.
War hero.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Probably responsible for England defending successfully.
If it wasn't for him, we'd all be speaking German.
Not me, I can barely speak English.
We'd be speaking Japanese.
I'd be perfectly happy with that, actually. Oh God, we'd be so racist, though. Just imagine. God. I mean, if there's one flaw that the Japanese society has, it's that racism thing that they've got going on. Absolutely shocking. Alan Turing, the late British mathematician who helped break the Nazi Enigma code during World War II and whose work laid the foundation for modern computers. God, this is another Verge story. Oh, it's such a good story, but I'm feeling really self-conscious.
Halfway through reading it, and he goes, fuck. Verge.
I'm really self-conscious about
you
this.
You should probably read the source of the story before you read the story.
But the story's so good.
Well, you're halfway through it now. Just keep going. You can't pull out now.
His work laid the foundation for modern computers. Looks set to be given a posthumous pardon by the UK government for an old indecency conviction. For being gay and for having gay sex with gay men. He's convicted of gross indecency in 1952. Sentenced to chemical castration and 2 years later, after undergoing injections that made him impotent and grow breasts, he died of cyanide poisoning.
What a coincidence.
Well, I mean, then some people suggest that maybe it wasn't suicide, it was murder. But
so speaking of suicide.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Did you see the Comic-Con video?
What?
Okay, so not at Comic-Con, but at an apartment building across the road from where they were setting up a like a publicity event for Kick-Ass 2. A woman who'd just been through a breakup decided she wanted to commit suicide.
No.
And so she climbed out onto the rail of her apartment building. And people started watching and videoing, as apparently we do now. And then some stuntmen who were setting up this thing across the road for the Kick-Ass party ran up, jumped over the fence, got into the building, got into her apartment building, her apartment, which was unlocked, and basically grappled, one of them came up behind her, snuck up behind her, got her in a big bear hug, then the other one put a harness over her shoulders and hauled her off the railing. They stopped her from jumping, basically. And some cynical assholes on the internet say it was all a stunt for Jackass, but clearly it wasn't because... Oh, sorry, Kick-Ass. Clearly it wasn't because that is a retardedly ridiculous stunt. If you were going to pull a PR stunt with Kick-Ass stuntmen, you would do a robbery or something like that, not a potential suicide.
Golly. Have you seen a documentary called The Bridge?
I have not. I've heard of it many, 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 many times.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's because it's very good.
Yeah, it's very good. And it is, it's tragic and it's difficult. And there is one scene where a suicidal person climbs over the barrier of the Golden Gate Bridge, which is the bridge in question, the titular bridge, and is clearly about to jump when a passerby just reaches out, grabs them and drags them back up.
Yep. Apparently there's a particular California High Patrol, I think, division that patrols the bridge. And they're all trained in suicide.
And tasing.
Yeah. They're all trained in suicide prevention. And apparently,
they used to be really carefully trained in suicide prevention. Now that it's given more ammunition. Because it costs so much less, Dylan. You just, what, have you got no economic sense?
I think what happens is they pull them off the bridge and send them to FEMA camps, actually.
Right. Mm. Digging ditches and making weirs and so on. All right, let's put a cap in this show's ass, shall we? Hey, you meant to say ass when you're talking about putting caps in things?
Yes, yeah, that's where you put caps.
Let's put a cap in this thing's bottom, shall we?
We right still now. Haven't talked about the bloody baby.
What baby are we talking about?
The royal baby.
Oh, fuck me, why would we?
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
The baby. Cute little royal baby.